Please turn with me in your copies of God's Word to John's second letter, 2 John. And this morning we will be looking at verses 4 through 6. Again, 2 John 4 through 6, and I'll begin reading in verse 1 to get the immediate context. Hear now God's word. The elder, to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Let us once again go to the throne of grace in prayer as we open up his word. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, we do praise you and magnify you for preserving your truth. And may you, Lord, open our eyes and our ears to understand and comprehend your word. And may it penetrate deep into our hearts. And Father, may you bless my mind and mouth, and may I proclaim your truth with boldness and clarity. And in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. The parable of the Good Samaritan is probably one of the most recognizable parables throughout the world. Not surprisingly, our Lord and Savior was quite skilled at taking situations that could occur in daily life and fusing them with some precious biblical truth that would hit hard and home to his audience. And as he gives the parable of the Good Samaritan, it's an answer to the question, who is my neighbor? Which was a question which came from Jesus' response to the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And as you recall in this parable of the Good Samaritan, there's a man who was robbed and left for dead on the side of the road. And a priest walks by on the opposite side and ignores the man in his time of need. A Levite then walks by on the other side and ignores the man. And then a Samaritan comes. A Samaritan who was despised, seen as just higher or maybe less than a dog in the eyes of the Jews. He came and he helped this individual. And what the story and the parable of the Good Samaritan shows us is a clear example of someone that this audience did not expect. The Jews would not have expected a Samaritan to behave in this way. But the Samaritan was living out God's commands. God's command to love his neighbor as himself. You could see it in his action. He was obeying and walking according to the truth of God's command to love his neighbor. And that is what John is addressing here in these verses in 2 John. To love one another as God has commanded. And the theme and the message that we will be looking at this morning is that you and I walk in truth by obeying God's command to love him and to love one another. Again, you and I walk in truth by obeying God's command to love him and to love one another. The first thing that we see as we begin to look at these verses in verse 4 is that John is overjoyed to see some of the believers in this church, this chosen lady, walking in the truth. He says in verse 4, it has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And this word walking is a word in the Greek that we are actually familiar with. Paul uses it in Colossians. If you remember in the final sermon that we had a couple weeks ago in Colossians, and I asked you to highlight Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. Where in verse 6 of chapter 2, Paul says that just as we received Christ, we are also to live in Him. Well, this word live in Colossians is the exact same word that John uses here when he says walking in the truth. Walking in the truth, living in the truth. This idea of your whole life being encompassed in living in the truth. I will say, if you want to see what this Greek word looks like, just ask Dave to look at his arm. It's on there. But it's walking, it's living, your whole life encompassed by it. And it's living in the truth that gives John such a great joy. And as I did a word search in Bible Works for the word here translated truth, it's really remarkable how it's used. Throughout the Greek version of the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, it can be translated as faithfully or faithfulness at times. At times it's translated as right or integrity. And a couple of examples here from the Old Testament. In 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 4, this is another account of David towards the end of his life. And he is counseling Solomon. And he is reminding Solomon of the promise that we read about earlier in 2 Samuel, of God's promise to put his seed and establish his son as king. And God says in David's recount that if his children will remain in his word, will remain in his commands, or as the NIV puts it, walk before me in faithfulness. This word faithfulness is the same word that we have here in verse 4 of 2 John, translated as truth. So literally, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 4 is, if they will walk before me in truth. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 33, here Nehemiah is expressing to God how he has acted faithfully, as it is in the NIV, in bringing judgment upon Israel and sending them out into exile. But it was literally, he's telling God, you have acted in truth. You have acted in truth, O Lord, in your judgments. In the psalm that we sang just a few moments ago, Psalm 25, in 25 at verse 10, in the section that we sang, it has a good translation. It talks about the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth. The NIV, if you have that in front of you, in Psalm 25, verse 10, translates it, all paths of the Lord are loving and faithful. Again, it's that same word, faithful. And it was literally, all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love or covenantal love and truth. So what does it mean to walk in truth? To walk in truth is to walk faithfully according to the Word of God and His commands. To walk in truth means to live your life as God commands, in His Word, according to His truth. The verse before 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 4, in verse 3, God says, "And observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in His ways and keep His decrees and commands, His laws and requirements as written in the law of Moses." And then in verse 4, David recounts to Solomon, "If you walk before me in faithfulness, if you walk before me according to my commands, according to my word, according to my truth." You know the analogy of walking according to Christ as walking the straight and narrow path. It's a common analogy that is used. To put it in more maybe modern terms, it's like walking a tightrope. If any of you have been to the circus or seen those on the tightrope walking in balance. It takes great energy for them to walk that tightrope. It takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of trying. It takes a lot of work. So it was walking in the truth, walking according to God's commands. It doesn't come easy. It takes practice. And as you watch someone up on a tightrope, all of their muscles flexing, using all of their strength to maintain their balance, walking across that line. So too is walking according to the truth. It takes great spiritual strength and energy. We cannot do it on our own. We cannot walk faithfully on our own. Remember how Paul talked about the operative power of God at work within him. The strength of God at work within him. It's by God's strength that we can walk in truth. That we can walk in faithfulness. That we can walk according to His commands. So this does not come overnight. This joy that John has over the believers that he is writing to, of their walking in the truth, it is something that does not come over the night, but takes great striving on our part. Again, is this work of sanctification of God in our lives. That we work with God seeking holiness. And so we are to walk in truth. But as he moves on in these verses, he entreats the church and the believers there to remember not a new command, but an old command. An old command that they have had from the beginning, to love one another. He says in verse 5, "And now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another." And this really isn't a question that John is presenting to the church. It's a command to love one another. But what does he mean? It's not a new command. It's one that we've had from the beginning. Where did this command come from? Well, I'd like you to turn with me to John's Gospel. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Here John writes, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And if you also turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 9. Here Christ says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." Here is the commandment that Christ gave his disciples: to love one another. It wasn't simply just a matter of love. He didn't end there. He said to love one another as I have loved you. This is a remarkable command. It is a hard command. It is not easy to love. But especially it is not easy to love as Christ has loved us. No greater love has anyone than this, than one laid down his life for his friends. going to the cross on behalf of his people. This is sacrificial love that Jesus is talking about here. And a definition of sacrificial love could be this. Sacrificial love is denying our desires for the needs of others. Sacrificial love is denying our desires for the needs of others. Now, the culmination of Christ's display of sacrificial love is the cross. His suffering that he endured leading up to that night, that day. And the suffering he endured as the Father turned away from him as he bore our sins and our transgressions. That is the culmination of his sacrificial love. But was that the beginning of it? I argued that the beginning of his display of sacrificial love was when he entered the womb of the Virgin Mary. He was born a man. He lived as us. He had all of our infirmities, all of our weaknesses, yet was without sin. What that means is that as a young boy, Jesus got sick. He got cold. He got the flu. As a teenager, he got pimples. He went through an awkward stage that we all go through. Jesus' humiliation was not solely upon the cross. It was from the moment that he entered the womb of Mary. He left the realms of glory to walk here amongst us and to live as one of us. And as we see in these chapters of John's Gospel, he desired wholeheartedly to be with the Father again. That was his desire. That is what he wanted. He often went alone and spoke to his Father. In John 17, he cries out that the Father would glorify him with the glory that he had before the world was created. He desired to be with the Father, even on the night he was betrayed. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he cries out to his Father, "If this cup can pass from me, take it away. But not what I will, but what your will." He sacrificed, he denied his desires for the needs of another, for your needs, for the needs of his people, so that we could be here and counted as his body. An example that we can have today of sacrificial love. If any of you have seen the movie Cinderella Man, it was a movie about a time in our country during the Great Depression. It was about a boxer who had no work. He was considered past his prime in boxing days. He had no food to provide for his family. He had no work. But what little food he did have, in this one scene, he was had his plate set before him. His wife had cooked up this one piece of ham. And that was to be his meal for the day. And one of his children, his daughter, was there at the table, and she had just finished hers, and she complained that she was hungry still. And so the character went in to tell his daughter about this wonderful dream he had the night before. He dreamed about eating this big, juicy steak with all these potatoes piled around it and all this wonderful goodness surrounding him. Now this dream was so realistic that he wasn't hungry anymore. He was full. So he gave his one piece of ham to his daughter to eat. He needed that. He desired. He was hungry. But he gave his food to his child who needed it. This is sacrificial love. Denying our desires for the needs of another. And we have to ask ourselves, by way of application, honestly, we must always ask ourselves, how are we fulfilling this command to love one another with a sacrificial love? How are we fulfilling this command to deny our desires to help those in need? How are we fulfilling it amongst us as John commands to love one another? How are we fulfilling it in the communities that God has placed us in? We can be a light to him, for him. This is what we must ask ourselves. How are we fulfilling this command? Well, John moves on back in 2 John in verse 6. After he relates and recounts the command again that we love one another, he says, "And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, this command is, or his command is, that you walk in love." This is an interesting verse. If you take 5 and 6 together, if we're to love one another, and this is love, that we obey God's commands, that we walk in obedience to his commands, that we have heard from the beginning, and this command is that we love. I mean, it's almost circular sounding that John is talking about. We're to obey the command to love. And this is love, that we obey God's command. Well, his command is to love. And to love is to obey his command. And it goes on and on and on. So what is John getting at? What is he arguing for? Well, if you will turn with me once again back to his gospel, this time in chapter 14. Chapter 14, and I'll begin in verse 15 and read through 24. "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will show myself to him." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." Jesus clearly states that whoever has his commands and keeps them, he it is who loves me. We show our love to God and to one another through keeping God's commands. Now, this is not legalism in any sense of the word. Legalism is the wrong belief that by keeping God's commands, we can earn our righteousness, we can earn our salvation, we can earn his approval. It is not legalistic to obey God's commands out of love and thankfulness to him. That is not legalism. That is merely following what God has told us to do. The freedom that we have in Christ is not freedom from the law of God, but is freedom to obey it. Apart from Christ, we are incapable of following God's law. But with Christ, he gives us the freedom to obey. He gives us the desire to obey and the ability to obey. And again, I cannot express enough, we are not to obey to earn God's favor. As I have said before, if you are in Christ, you already have the favor of God. We are to obey out of thankfulness and love to our Heavenly Father. This is something that we observe every day. Parents, how do you know that your children love you? How do you know tangibly that your children love you? When they listen to you. When they don't live in hostility towards you, but they listen and they obey, you can see tangibly that they love you. And you can see tangibly that they love God. Because ultimately, it's not being obedient to parents that is the key, but being obedient to our parents, because God tells us to honor our father and our mother. So it is ultimately obedience to God and love that they are displaying to Him. And children, how do you know that your parents love you? When they show kindness and graciousness to you in their very clear display of provisions that they provide for you on a daily basis, following God's command to provide for their families. And spouses, how do you know that your spouse loves you? You can see tangibly that your spouse loves you when they hear and they listen to what you desire and what you like, and they do it. Tangible ways you can see how you love one another. And this is simply what John is addressing here in the verses that we have before us this morning. The command to love one another. The command to love not only one another, but to love our Lord and our God. And to love God and to love one another is to walk in the truth. Christ says, if you love me, you will obey me. He who has my commands and keeps them, he it is who loves me. We show our love very visibly to God and to one another through our actions, through our obedience to the commands of God. And so, brothers and sisters, our love must be observable. We need to see one another's love for one another. Loving with the sacrificial love that Christ has loved us. Think again about what we were before Christ. What we were when He loved us. We were His enemies. We were sinful. We were vile. We were ugly. We had nothing beautiful in us. And yet He loved us. We're to love one another with the sacrificial love of Christ. Denying our own desires to come to the aid of those in need. And so, brothers and sisters, you and I are to walk in truth by obeying God's command to love Him and to love one another. Amen.